Ephesians chapter 5. And as I mentioned, we're going to be taking this morning and tonight and the outline, if you were scared when you opened up the handout and you're like, oh my word, that's a lot of points. It's for two services, all right? It's going to cover two and we'll try to get through them. But there's a song that we sing in Sunday school, I sang growing up, and it said, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And that song kind of has resonated in my head as I was preparing for this message, because it's entitled Helps to Be Careful, Helps to Be Careful. Read a story from a pastor that he was remembering growing up. His dad wasn't a pastor. His dad worked as a layman and would take him to church and things like that. But he was remembering because all in the summer times, he would work with his dad. And so he tells this story. He says, as a schoolboy, I worked with my father during the summer months. Each morning, we stopped to pick up the early edition of the newspaper at the small grocery store. Some of you younger people don't know what that is. There's these things, they were bigger, and you would open them up. It would get ink on your hands and things like that. It was called a newspaper. We don't have too many of those anymore, but each morning they'd stop by, pick up an early edition of the newspaper at the small grocery store. One morning when they got to work, his father found that by mistake he had two newspapers instead of one. He first thought of going back the next day because he always stopped and picked up the early edition of the newspaper, and he thought, hey, you know what, tomorrow morning I got to make sure to, and he looked at his son, and he started mentioning it, and then after a moment's consideration, he thought, you know what, I just need to go back and give that paper back. I don't want the man at the store to think that I'm dishonest. So he got in his car, drove all the way back to the store, and returned one newspaper, which I don't know when this illustration was, but it was many, many years ago, right? Because it was written about 10 years ago, and he was remembering when he was a little boy. So you think probably 50 years ago, it was probably a quarter or less. But his dad got in the car, went back to the store, and said, hey, I grabbed an extra paper. Here it is. Well, a couple weeks later, someone stole money from that same grocery store. The police pinpointed the time that it occurred. The grocer remembered only two people being in the store at the time. One was, guess who? His father, this man. The grocer immediately dismissed his father as a suspect because he goes, that man, he told the police this, that man is really honest. He came all the way back here just to return a newspaper he took by mistake. The police then focused their investigation on the other man, who soon made a full confession. My father's honesty made a big impression on that non-Christian store owner and on me. Be careful of your actions. Be careful of your actions. And that's what Ephesians chapter 5 says. Remember, the Apostle Paul, in his writings normally in the New Testament, half of a chapter or half of a book normally is doctrinal. So he's teaching some doctrine, and then he'll change directions and he'll start into the practical. So in Ephesians chapter 5 is the practical section. In Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, he's talking about the doctrinal part. And we see this change or transition in chapter 4. Read chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice what it says in chapter 4 of Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye what? Hello. I know it's early. You're already settling in. All right. Nap number 2 is coming on. You already got your Sunday school nap. Nap 2 is coming. All right. So what is that word? That ye walk. All right. So that walking is practice, isn't it? It's practical. So that's the transition in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians from the doctrinal to the practical now. So we're in chapter 5. Notice what he says. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And notice he follows the same idea. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now notice, and this is the difference. There are some people, and I would say that there's even backslidden Christians sitting out here, that you're like, yeah, we need to walk in love. All right? He actually describes what love is here. Notice what he says. But fornication. You'd say, that relates to love? Yeah. It relates to walking in your love for God and not the world. And walking in love means that you're going to get away from fornication. What's fornication? It's a loose lifestyle and purity. That's what it is. And just so you know, fornication, yes, it is a physical act, but in today's day and age, it's impurity of the mind too. And many sitting here, even this week, guess what you practiced? You weren't walking in love. And that's what the Bible is telling us. And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, so what is that telling you? If somebody's doing wrong, get away from them. That's what it's saying. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then you go down to verse 14, and he continues this idea, and this is our text. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walked, how? Circumspectly. Oh, that's a Dr. Mitchell word, isn't it? All right? He'd be up there and all of us would be like, hey, we have no idea what he's talking about. He's like, obviously thou shalt walk circumspectly. And we're all sitting there, we're like, what does that mean? Well, he knows. All right? But we're going to help you out today with that. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Well, Albert Barnes has commentaries, and this is what he says on this passage here. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means carefully, anxiously, solicitous, lest you fall into sin. The word rendered circumspectly, and then he has the Greek next to it, means diligently. The idea is that they were to take special pains to guard against the temptations around them and to live as they ought to. And he tells them to walk diligently or anxiously, or to be careful or anxious in our steps. Why? Because we're not supposed to be as fools, but as wise. He continues on. Albert Barnes says this, not as the people of this world live. Guess what they are? Foolish. Why are they foolish in their walking? Why are they not diligent and careful? Because the world says that this is all there is. And some of you this week walked as though this life is all there is. You know what the Bible says? You walked as a fool this past week. I didn't say it. God said it. You walked as a fool. Oh, be careful. Little eyes and hands and ears and feet. Oh, be careful. This morning and this evening, we want to look at the idea of how or helps to be careful. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we think about this subject this morning and this evening. I pray that we would learn to be circumspect in our lives. I believe as Christians, many times we are not. Pray that we would have the integrity. I pray that through this morning and this evening, we'd be able to put some things in place and help some folks. We'd be able to ponder on these and then give some food for thought because through this month of January, we want to be careful. We want to be circumspect. We want to consider that in our life. I pray that through the preaching of God's word, that your word would do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have three ideas, and we're just going to cover a couple of points of each. Then this evening, we'll finish it up. All right, so first, we're going to consider why should we be careful? And I want to give you just a couple of ideas. We have four listed out, so we're just going to consider two this morning. So why should we be careful? Well, there's a verse in the Bible. The first point that I think of is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8, and many of us know this, and it kind of gives the idea of being careful. It says, be sober. Does that sound like being circumspect? It does, doesn't it? It's being diligent, being anxious, I'm careful. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, now I would be this way if we just like had a couple of bags up here, and right as we started the preaching service, I tossed them out into the middle and they dropped and out rolled a bunch of snakes. All right, besides the mass screaming at an unbelievably high-pitched sound, all of us would probably be very circumspect. We would be vigilant. We would be sober. Why? Because there is something that would be wanting to kill us. We'd be careful, wouldn't we? Well, the Bible says, as a Christian, why should I be careful? Because you have an enemy. You have an enemy. Now, where do we see this? In the Bible, we see this portrayed to us in a couple of passages. Remember Job? If you want to mark it down, it's Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. Let me read you a couple of the passages. In verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answers the Lord. This is what he says in verse 7. Satan said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Why was he doing that? Why was he doing it? First Peter, the apostle Peter, tells us why. Because he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Why do I need to be careful? Because the Bible is telling us that Job, Satan, is out there and he's looking for an opportunity to trip you up. Did he accomplish that this past week? He might have. He might have, and that's why we're saying be careful. Be circumspect. Why? Because there's a devil that is accusing. There is a devil that is accusing. In chapter 2 of Job, it says in verse 1 and 2, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Guess what Satan said again? From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. This is why you need to be careful, because there is a devil that's out there and he's ready to trip you up. He's ready to pull you down. He's ready to put snares. He's ready to put things out there. And I would venture to say, and this is all of us every day, that's why the book of Ephesians, if you think of the book of Ephesians, remember we're in chapter 5. That's the practical part. Chapter 4 says what? To walk. Hey, I want you to walk a certain way. That's the practical. Chapter 5, he's saying, be circumspect, be careful, be vigilant, be diligent. Chapter 6 gives us something to help us. Ephesians 6 is what? Put on the whole armor of God. God doesn't leave you helpless in this area of being careful. He says, hey, you got to be careful. Hey, it's up to you. Just go out there, man. You know, just be careful. That's not how he leaves us. He helps you out. But guess what you have to do as a Christian? Don't blame it on God. And some of you, as teenagers, as you're getting older, and young people and adults here, what you want is everybody else to do your job. It says, you put it on. You suit up. And some of you little babies that sit out here every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, you're like, oh, my parents, oh, my teachers, oh, my... Put on the whole armor of God. You do it, big boy. Don't have somebody else. You come up and say, I'm a man. This is how I act. This is how I am. Then suit up. And when you fall flat on your face and somebody comes by and says, hey, you just got snared by the devil. You get mad at the person that's calling out the devil snaring you. Instead of turning around and saying, I didn't suit up today. Suit up. Be careful. Why? Because there's a devil that's accusing. Notice number two. Why be careful? Why be careful? One, a devil that is accusing. Two, a world that is watching. A world that is watching. The passage that I have as an example is 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Look at what it says. If you don't know the context of 2 Samuel 12, this is King David. And King David, I mean, he was a warrior, man after God's own heart. But guess what happened to King David? He wasn't careful. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba. So now Nathan the prophet is coming, and he tells him, he gives him a story. And then he says, David gets mad and says, you know what, where's this guy at? Gives him a parable. And the parable was a story that basically was saying that King David was at fault. And Nathan turns to King David and says, that's you. And then in the context, this is what it says. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, give them unto thy neighbor, he shall lie with thy wife. I mean, he goes through a whole litany, and this is what my challenge to us as individuals, get the heart of David when you've done wrong. Some of you, whenever you're pointed out that you're wrong, it's everybody else's fault. King David didn't do that. King David said, I've sinned. But then this is what Nathan the prophet says this. David, this is verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. But look at, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. This is what you don't understand as a Christian. There are eyes watching you in the world. You know why you need to be careful? Because by your actions out in the world, you can send somebody to hell. I can't remember if it was my wife or if it was somebody, one of my relatives over the last week that we were talking about kind of this concept. And they were saying, whether it was on Facebook or somewhere, there's a bunch of worldly people that are starting to say to Christians on social media, why would I want what you have? I already act like you. That's the world. The world is saying to Christians, there's no difference. And some of you, that's what you believe. The world's watching you, and what you're doing is you're pulling God down in their eyes. And I'm telling you, you bring a curse on you when you do that. That's what you do. The world is watching. What's interesting is, as I was thinking about this, and there's a guideline for us, and the Bible says this. Jesus was talking to his disciples in the book of Matthew. He sent out his disciples in Matthew 10. He sent them forth. He commanded them to go out. And in Matthew chapter 10, This is what he told the disciples that were going to go out and preach. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know what he's telling us to do? Be bold in front of the world for Christ, not for sin. Some of you are bold in front of the world to show them that I'm like you. That's not what Christ is saying here. He's saying, be bold for me in front of the world. Why? Because they're watching. And if you're bold for me, I will stand for you. But did you notice what he says? If you deny me, I'll deny you. Some of you, and this is what amazes me, some of you are more concerned, and hey, the whole message is about being careful, isn't it? I'm okay about being careful physically, but some of you are more concerned about a more worldly mandate of a mask in front of the world because I'm a testimony than you are of the godly mandates from this book. And so you will put your physical mask on, but spiritually your mask is off and you fill your mind with impurity. You feast on it. And then you're like, oh, you guys are such horrible testimonies. You are. You spew out the world. You talk like the world. You look like the world. And then you say, oh, but I wear my mask. Yeah, you hypocrite. That's what I call you, and that's what Christ calls you. You're a Pharisee because you live one way here and you live another way out in the world. Oh, you're full of dead men's bones. That's what the Bible says. Why do we need to be careful? We need to be careful because there's a devil that is accusing. There's a world that is watching. So let's go to point number two. Point number two. And we'll finish up those other ones tonight. So what do we need to be careful of? I'm going to give you three of them out of our list here because we have six, okay? So what do we mean to be careful of? First, we need to be careful of forgetting God in our lives. All right, where do we find that? That's found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. And these are all, the Bible has tons to say about being careful. All right, being careful. Another word, and I did a study on this. Another word, you can look up the word careful or circumspect. You're not going to find the word circumspect that often. Careful, you'll find a little bit. But another word that you'll find throughout the Bible is beware. Guess what that is telling you? Watch out. Be careful. All right, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, here is the passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and in the first part of it, notice in verse 3, it says, hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. So what is he saying? Here's all these things. Deuteronomy is preceding, or it's actually afterwards. They've been given all the law. They've been given all these instructions. And now, through the word of God, God is saying, I've given you this and listen to it. All right, but notice what he says. He says, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. 9, write them upon the post of thy house. And then God says, I'm going to bless you because of it. But look at verse 12. Here's our word. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know what God tells us? I need to be careful. What do I need to be careful of? Forgetting about God. You know, that's why in our church, and we do it a little differently than my father-in-law. My father-in-law didn't do communion a lot. That was his choice. I do it a little more. We probably do it about 6 or 8 times a year. You know why I want to do it? Because communion is given to what? This do in remembrance. Every time. That's why I wanted that cross up there. Every time I walk into the church, you know what I see? I see that cross, and it reminds me that Jesus died and paid for my sins. Every time I see it, it reminds me of that. Every time that I take communion, and communion doesn't have to be, some people think of it as it's always down. Like, actually, communion can be happy. Why? I'm remembering I don't deserve this. I don't deserve being saved. And it doesn't have to be a long process. That's why sometimes it's pretty fast. You know, we preach a message, and at the end we take communion. Why? Because we just pause and we're remembering. Why? Because it's a natural tendency of man to do what? Forget. All right, we forget things. And one of the things we can forget is God. So that's what we need to be careful of, forgetting God in our life. Secondly, the Bible gives us instructions about our, what to be careful of? Our associations. Oh yeah. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. We were reading this week, because we're reading through the book of Proverbs, in January. And Proverbs chapter 1, look at what verse 10 says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. And it says, verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And make haste to shed blood. What is he telling them? Watch your associations. I need to be careful. If somebody doesn't love God, and I'm not talking about all of us, I think if we sat everybody down, you'd say, it's one of those classic, I call them classic invitation, please. Like, all right, we're going to have an invitation. How many of you have done something wrong in the last year? Like, oh. Get down here, get it right. Like, okay. All right? Like, how many of you would, you haven't prayed like you should? Well, I guess. Get down here. All right, pretty soon the whole church is down on their knees. Why? Because, you know, I can always pray more. And I probably did something wrong in the last week. All right? All of us, unless you've reached sinless perfection, then you really need to get down here. All right? Because that's not possible. But guess what? I'm not talking about just being silly as far as our associations. Yeah, all right, all of us need to work at being more right with God. But there are some people, they're blatant. All right? They've sat this week, they've talked with you about something that's wrong with this church. Get away from them. Get away from them. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Because it's wrong. Did they go to that person? Oh, well, you know, this is just between you and us. Why? You know why it's between you two? Because they think you're just as weak. Well, get away from them. Be careful of wrong associations. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 15:33? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. You know, some people have a wrong understanding of judging. And actually, the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be on a judgment seat almost every second of my day. You know why? So I'm judging, I'm trying the spirits, whether they're of God. That's what I'm doing. How do I know if somebody is right with God? How do we know that somebody's God's disciple? Jesus said we can know it. I'll know if you're my disciple if you have love one to another. And you'll also He'll know if you love God if you keep His commandments. So guess what I can tell you? Somebody that's skipping out of Sunday church, it's a wrong association. It's pretty easy. Somebody that likes to skip church, get away from them. Why? Because the Bible instructs you to be careful of somebody that loves sin and the world over Christ. That's what the Bible is telling us. Our third thing to be careful of is lustful temptations. Lustful temptations. I'm just going to give you a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18. Two words are given us in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Does that sound like I'm hugging it? Hanging out with it? Flee it. Get away from it. So I need to be careful of lustful temptations. The Bible also tells me in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is it saying? I need to be careful of lustful temptations. And how am I careful? I walk in the Spirit. And what you'll find is that takes work. The Bible tells us in our passage in Ephesians 5, remember in Ephesians 5, we are in verse 15, and it says that we're supposed to walk circumspectly. 16, a lot of people use as a New Year's verse, redeeming the time. Okay, right after that, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know how you're careful? How am I careful with the flesh? Every day, I'm filled with the Spirit. That word filled with the Spirit is in the present tense. That means that it's a continuous action. I don't believe it's a one-time event. That means every day I'm asking God to fill me. Why? Because the lust of this flesh wants to have control. Wants to have dominion. And I need to be careful of it. Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. He said, flee also youthful lust. So it is something. I'm not saying that lust becomes lighter, but you do get some experience in your warfare. All right, all of us should know that. We should get better at fighting the devil, if we're fighting him, right? Those of you that have done anything, whether it's in sports or in some activity, it could be in reading, it could be in riding a bike, and some activity, you should get better over time. Why? Because you're practicing. You're getting better. So I'm not saying that as you get older, you never have a youthful lust, but notice it says youthful lust because guess what comes on in those younger years? The younger years, it's that lust. What the devil wants to do is ruin the ability for you to have a pure marriage. That's what he wants to do. He's no dummy. So that's why you need to be careful of lustful temptations. 1 Peter chapter 2, that's the last one that I'll look at on this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Does Peter seem to be indicating that there is a warfare when it comes to lust? He's telling you, be careful. Be careful. So that was, we said why and what. So let's just cover two things then, and we'll cover the rest of them tonight. I don't want to leave you just like, oh, thank you. You just depressed me because I need to be careful, but there's no instruction on how. Well, the Bible gives us instruction on how. So I'm going to give you two this morning. We'll finish up the other ones tonight. Let me give you two. First of all, how am I careful? I am careful by being attentive, All right, so I use them all with L-Y, attentively. All right, how am I careful? Attentively. So what does that mean? What does, to me, attentive mean? It means to hear, to listen. All right, and the Bible instructs us that I can learn with my ears. I can learn from God's word. I can learn by listening to from others of how to be circumspect in this life. In fact, in the book of Titus, the Bible says this in the book of Titus, that the older teach the younger. That's a biblical instruction. In a good church, there are older men, there are older ladies that come alongside younger people, and they're saying, hey, man, be careful. Walk circumspect. And younger people that are here, don't get mad. We're a biblical church if that's happening. We're not a biblical church, and go find some love-hugging church that doesn't do that, doesn't call out sin. You know what? I want a biblical church. And a biblical church has older folks that come alongside and say, be careful. Walk circumspectly. Be attentive. Nehemiah chapter 8, I'll just give you a couple of passages. Nehemiah chapter 8 is one of them. Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is when they were rebuilding the walls. Remember Nehemiah, that's the whole purpose, is the rebuilding of the walls, bringing Israel back to a place where they can worship God. So Nehemiah 8 says, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And notice in verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. And you'll notice it gives us how they listened. Notice what it says. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and that all the people answered amen and amen with their lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, all right, it continues on. Look at verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. You know what that's called? Listening. Listening. I want to be a part of a church that is in the business of not nutting around with the Word of God. You don't come to church, and I'm telling you, if that's the church you want, then go find it. But I don't want to be a part of a church that comes in and we just have this little ditty, and it just makes me feel so good, and so I just feel so fuzzy. No, I want to know the meaning of the Word of God distinctly, and so we're in the business of teaching the Word of God, of preaching the Word of God, helping you understand it. And if it steps on a toe, if it makes me uncomfortable, then change the action. I need to be attentive to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2 gives us that instruction. Proverbs 2 and verse 1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, verse 2 of chapter 2, so that thou shalt incline thine ear. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to know the understanding. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. That word incline is to bend the ear. You know when you're maybe getting older, all right, you turn. Or remember in like 100 years ago, they had those big things, big horns that stuck out of their ears. All right, some of you need one of those, all right? You stick it in your ear there. All right, and you're like, eh? All right? Well, that's what that inclining, I can't hear. And some of the reason you can't hear is because you filled up your life with so much other noise that you can't hear the still small voice of God anymore. The Spirit is speaking. We want Him to speak. There in Proverbs, look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. So go back to Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 29. I was studying this, and I found this passage. And man, this scared me. Because this is God speaking to the children of Israel. The Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel to the land of Moab. This is chapter 29 and verse 1. Verse 2, Moses calls all the children of Israel and he says, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes. Look at verse 3. The great temptation what thy eyes have seen, the signs, these great miracles. Look at verse 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Oh, my prayer and my life is, God, do not let me get to the place where I have pushed off your instruction. I have held you off. Is that what the children of Israel? They saw a Red Sea parted. They saw water come from a rock. They saw food showered from heaven. And when they came up to the promised land, they're like, yeah, there's giants. You know what God said? I have tried to help you to see. I have tried to get you to listen. I've sent Moses. I've sent men of God to help you. And you have restrained, you have resisted. God says, you have ears, but they're not going to hear. Could that be that somebody sitting here today, you have resisted the Spirit so much that information is going in, but you don't hear it? Oh, that can happen. It's right here in the Bible. God says, the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. How am I supposed to be careful? Attentively. Secondly, this morning, so then what do I need to do? I need to ask God to give me ears to hear. Isn't that what Christ told his disciples all the time? Hey, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Even God, when Peter, James, and John went up into the Mount of Transfiguration and the heavens opened, God came down and he said, this is my beloved son. What did he say after that? Hear ye him. What do you need? Do you need the clouds opening up and God to speak from heaven to say, hear? And ask God to do it. Ask him to open your ears again. But secondly, in our text in Ephesians 5, what does it tell us? How am I supposed to be careful? Carefully. That's what it's saying there. Isn't that the word circumspectly? Ephesians 5, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Now, I don't adhere to the Methodist Church. I don't agree with many of their modern doctrinal errors. But if you go back in the Methodist Church, it was started by a man who developed, guess what? Methods. That's why it's called Methodist. So who started the Methodist movement? John Wesley. If you look at John Wesley was John Wesley was one of the most disciplined men that and religion that has been alive. He was just disciplined. I read somewhere, and I tried to add it up. It just didn't make sense. I read somewhere that I think he preached between 30 and 40,000 sermons. I preach a lot. There is no way I'll come to a third of that by the end of my life. Okay, it was a machine. But it said that he boiled down the Christian life into five methods. And so I looked it up and I was like, all right, so what is it? He said, I need to have a method of prayer, a method of Bible study, a method of journaling, a method of fasting, and communion was important to him. Now think about that. In the five things, communion was important. Now think about that for some of you. When you see communion out here, you're like, ah. He said that was one of the five important things to his spiritual life. What's the big deal? This doing remembrance. Because you're probably forgetting Christ. Think, he boiled it down, and they say that he was just religiously disciplined in his life. Why? Because he said, I'm going to be careful about my spiritual life. Some of you are more careful about how, men, you're more careful about how you iron your pants than about your relationship to Christ. Shame on you. You're more concerned about your socks than you are about your religious disciplines that don't just matter. Your socks you're going to throw away someday. At least if you're like me, all right, and my kids showed me on Friday night, I lifted up my socks and set them down. They're like, Dad. And I was like, what? They're like, there's holes in your socks. I'm like, they feel good, though. You know what I mean? Like, what's up with you? So, yep, they went in the garbage on Saturday. Because they're going to be thrown away. They're not going to last forever. But some of you take more care, and you took more care this week with things that matter nada. You're not careful. Not careful at all. And you wonder why God is not blessing your life. It's the last time that you've seen an answer to prayer. When's the last time that God spoke to you? And this is what I mean by that. When's the last time God pointed out one of your sins? That's what I'm asking you. Because you know what God does to me? A lot points out my sin. A lot. And if he's not, you don't have a good relationship with him. Because your ears aren't attentive to what he's saying. How am I supposed to be careful? Attentively and carefully. There's a book, and I would highly recommend it. There's a book that I'm I'm a couple chapters into it. Usually in the new year, I'm always looking for a book or two, and sometimes it's not necessarily a Christian book. It's a book that kind of motivates me and pushes me. And so there's a guy that wrote a book about 5 years ago named James Clearly, I think it is, or Cleary. It's called Atomic Habits. And this is amazing. He says, he describes, and this is what he goes through a big discussion on goals. And he says a lot of people set goals, but what they don't realize is the process underneath the goals is so wrong. That's why they're always in failure. And so one of his things is that you analyze, he says there's three layers. And there's the goal, then there's the process, and then the bottom is basically integrity of the person. It's who you are. That will help determine it. And he's not a Christian. And as I've been reading it, I've been thinking, but wait a minute. I have an advantage over that dude. Who I am in Christ. I'm a new creature. Man, I can put on the new man. I have a spirit, the Holy Spirit, that says, man, you put me on. You don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Man, that guy's on his own, but I'm not. But this is what he said. He says, most people don't understand. They think, well, if I have this massive goal, that's going to change my life. And he says, most of the time, it's little things that basically determine our whole life. It's the little habits. And he gave an illustration. He said, if a plane took off from L.A. and it was supposed to go to New York City, and the pilot was like, eh. And he veered the direction of the plane by 3.5 degrees. That's it. He said, in the book, he said, I'm a math nerd, so I went and measured that. That's 92 inches. So it's supposed to go here, so 92 inches, you just veer it. Instead of landing in New York City, it'll land, the plane will land in Washington, D.C. He says, and that's the value of just a little bit of change. That's why we need to be careful. Some of you, you get irritated because teachers and parents, older folks, they come alongside and they're saying, be careful, be careful, be careful, because you're taking off from L.A. and it doesn't seem like a big deal to be just a little bit. Just a little bit. What's the big deal? And he said that's also why sometimes good habits, we don't keep at it. Because human beings, guess what? We want to see instant results. And so you decide that, and I'm starting up. I'm starting a process. I was studying it this week, the end of this week, and man, I've got a goal by the end of March to have a certain amount in my physical fitness. But he was saying, you know, most people, after 1 week, they're like, man, my muscle's the same. And you quit. And in your mind, you say, what's the big deal about one day of not working out? What's the big deal about one extra cheeseburger? What's the big deal? And he said, what happens is those little things end up building over life. And by the end, you're in D.C. instead of New York City. Where are you headed? What's your direction? That's what I'm asking you. Be careful. Walk circumspectly. Does it mean that we can't have a cheeseburger once in a while? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, remember, in your spiritual life, what's the big deal about not praying one day? Because maybe tomorrow, it'll be another day. And pretty soon, it's a week without prayer. Pretty soon, it's a month of no Bible reading. Pretty soon, you're not attending services. Did that happen this year already? 2020, guess what? There are people not in our church who were here last January. What's the big deal? Be careful. Walk circumspectly.